Coach Belichick is with us before we dig into yesterday and your Patriots team. We spent a lot of time talking Red Sox with you last week, and then they went out there, finished it off, and won a World Series. Is there one thing about that team that impresses you more than anything else?
Well, a couple things. I'd say, number one, their clutch play. It seemed like every time they needed a play, they got it, whether it was a guy coming in out of the bullpen, whether it was a clutch hit, base running, those leadoff walks, fielding plays. They just made the key plays at all the key times when they needed them. And, you know, their batting average wasn't that high, but they got the hits when they needed them. And they made plays in the field, and they ran bases. They did all the things you got to do to win. So, that was impressive. And I think, you know, what came across to the fan, which is, you know, all I was on that, is just their camaraderie, their feelings for each other, for the team. And, you know, there was obviously a great chemistry on that team, and I could really feel that even when I talked to those guys, met them for a few minutes before the game, you know, back in behind the tunnel, and then even for a few minutes out there on the field. You could just feel there was a real, you know, affection and for each other, both personally and, you know, respectfully and professionally, and that came across very quickly. So say those are the two things that impressed me the most about this year's team.
You know who they remind me of? My favorite Patriots team of all time, the 2001 Patriots, kind of came out of nowhere, and camaraderie was a word used a lot about them. And I'm not sure if it's fair or not, but people always say about that Patriots team that they didn't have the most talent overall, but they got the most out of their talent. I mean, you mentioned the word chemistry, and you mentioned camaraderie. How do you balance that when you're talking about a team? Is it 50-50? You got to have talent, obviously.
Of course.
And I mean, what's the ratio to put into the mix?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think if you knew the answer to that one, you bottle it and you make a whole lot of, you'd be in high demand. But it's just finding the right balance and you know what exactly that is. Our chemistry in 2001 wasn't perfect. There was certainly there were some moments where there was a little bit of friction, but it was, on balance. I mean, it was a great team that wasn't the most talented team, but they played well when they had to, made the plays they had to make to win. They played better than the other team, whether they were the most talented team or not, but they played better than the other team when they had to, and that's why they were champions.
You guys also played better than the team you had to play yesterday. Clearly, you score 55 points, offensive outburst. It seemed like a very balanced attack. Was that part of the game plan going in, to be balanced offensively?
Well, you know, you always go in with the opportunity to do things. You just, sometimes it depends on how the game plays out, but we were able to maintain that yesterday in the game. Yes, we, you know, able to run the ball, and that set up our play action, and we were only in a couple third and long yardages, like third and more than tens, so we were able to kind of play the game more on our terms and not from a lot of long yardage situations or playing from behind and that type of thing. But you know, you never really know how that's going to go. We've won games where we've thrown the ball 50 times, and we've won games where we've run the ball 45 times. So as long as you win, you win. But that's the most important thing, is to do what you have to do to win.
I want to step back for a second. I have one more Red Sox Patriots question for you. That's all right. All right, one more. And that is, the Red Sox finished in last place last year. They won a championship. Once again, 2001 Patriots, 5-11. Then they go to 11-5. How difficult is it to establish a championship culture? And is that something that you go in with a list and say, we have to do 1, 2, 3 to become a championship team? Or is it something that just organically develops and you're not really sure that you've established what you want to establish?
Right. Well, that's another interesting question. I think, and again, I don't know enough about baseball to be definitive on this, but I know a little bit about football, and I'd say that, you know, a lot of times you go through the season, as you go through the season, you figure out what's the best way for this team to win. Maybe you won that way last year, maybe you won that way some other year, maybe you didn't. But, you know, maybe the Red Sox, as they went through the year, figured out this is what we have. We found our relief pitcher, we found our closer, we found, you know, how we're going to score runs, we found how we're going to, you know, what's the best combination for us, how it works. And that happens to you on the football field as well. You find out whether you're as good at man-to-man as you think you are, or whether you need to play more zone, or whether you should pressure more, or whether you can run the ball, or whether you can, you know, get the ball down the field, or whether you're an inside passing team or an outside passing team, or, you know, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what you want to try to stay away from, what you want to try to feature, and just, you know, how you can win, how this team can win, not how you've won before, but what the makeup of this team that helps you win. And, you know, I think this is about the time of the year where probably most teams in college and pro football are starting to figure out, you know, they had enough different matchups, enough games, enough situations come up that they're starting to figure out this is how we need to play. This is what's best for us this year. And, you know, you look at your matchups of the opponents and modify it a little bit, but you start to have a feel for and confidence in what your team can do and maybe what it can't do. And that's why I think it's hard to say, well, this is their formula at the beginning of the year, because a lot of times you just have to see your team evolve. You know, what young players or what new players come in and what their impact is and what their chemistry is, how they fit with everybody else, and what guys that, you know, are more established, but, you know, is their role the same? Is their level of performance the same? And you just have to see how all that plays out.
So are you at that point with your team this year? Do you know how
I know a lot more about them now than I did back in September or back in August and July.
Well,
I mean, we played 13 games. I mean, 4 preseason games and 9 regular season games. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we've gotten better at, some things we've improved at, that where they were, you know, 6 weeks ago isn't where they are right now for different combinations of reasons. But it's an ongoing changing thing, but at the same time, you know, you definitely learn things about your team as you go. And I think we've shown that there are some things that we can do, not perfect, but there's some things we do pretty well, and then there's other things that we still, you know, need more work on. So and whether those will improve or whether this is just going to be the level that they're at, you know, hopefully they'll improve, but we're going to have to make them better. Nobody's going to do it for us.
You've had a lot of injuries on defense to this team, and my question for you is, do you look at those guys and say, okay, this is what we've been practicing all year, and so fit into the scheme that is there, or based on the injuries that you've had, and lose both of your starting defensive tackles, and Gerard Mayo has been a tackling machine since he came into the league, do you say, all right, the injuries necessitate that we maybe have a different scheme out here based on the personnel that we have?
Yeah, well, I think that, sure. I think sometimes you have to do that. You have to look at what you're playing with and what those players can do. I mean, you're only as good as what you can execute. So you can put anything you want on paper, but if you can't go out there and execute it on the field, then it's, you know, really meaningless. So it's pretty hollow. You've got to be able to, you know, go out there, do it on the practice field, see it. Your players have confidence in it, and then to have a chance for that to happen out there in game situations under pressure. So you might have to trim some things back. You might have to change or modify what you're doing based on, you know, personnel changes or, you know, whatever the reasons are. Sure, that's definitely part of it.
When we talked to you last week, it was the day before the trade deadline. The next day you traded for Isaac Sopawaga. How did that come together in the last 24 hours or so?
You know, mainly with Nick and you know, his counterparts there at Philadelphia, probably Howie Roseman. And you know, it's something that we had, you know, we again, you get a few names, you know, tossed around, but most of them don't come together. I guess we were the only trade on that final day, right? But anyway, you know, sometimes they don't come together. The Tlaib trade did a year ago, the Sopawaga trade did this year. You know, it's not something that I think, you know, we sit around all day just, you know, waiting to see what's going to happen. And you know, go through with it, and you set your parameters. If, you know, if we can do the deal for this, then we'll do it. If we can't, then we won't. And it was able to work out. So, you know, I'm glad we have him. I thought he helped us out yesterday, and we got a lot of football left, and I think that there'll be plenty of opportunities, you know, for him in coming games. So I'm glad we're working with Isaac. He's, you know, he's a solid guy, smart guy, and, you know, runs well, has good experience. So hopefully he'll be able to help us down the road.
I think you got a pretty good quarterback. He's all right. He's made some plays in his career. What did you see from him yesterday that maybe he hadn't done the week before? I mean, it was a statistically almost a perfect game for Brady yesterday.
Yeah, well, Tom, I think our whole offense, you know, had a real good day, and certainly he was a big part of it. But you know, nobody can move the ball in the NFL by themselves. You got to have 11 guys working together, and I thought we had that. Our offensive line did an excellent job. Our backs did a good job. You know, we got production out of our tight ends, and we got production out of our receivers. We made some critical plays at critical times, you know, in the red area on third down conversions. We had a couple big play opportunities that we converted. So, you know, all those things kind of came together. Wish we could, you know, save some of those points and, you know, use them in another tight game. But, no, it was good. Tom did an excellent job, but he had a lot of help from his receivers and you know, his line, of course. And, you know, Josh had a couple of great play calls that were just the right play against the right matchup defense that we got, and you know, that helped us out too.
We were talking about this before you came down, the Gronkowski play where he appeared to get into the end zone, but he was just short. You guys quick snapped him, came down, and you didn't review the play. Is it that you thought you had an advantage with a quick snap, or did you already have enough information from upstairs and you looked at it and said, he wasn't quite in, because he wasn't?
Yeah, well, again, on those type of plays that, you know, I would say are not the real game-changing plays, you know, plays that are, you know, run back for touchdowns and, you know, huge swings. I mean, it was a play that we gained yardage on. Did we get it in? Did we not get it in? Again, as we know, the rule on that is there has to be enough evidence to overturn what was called on the field. And if you don't feel like there's enough to overturn what was called on the field, then, you know, if you use that challenge and lose it, you've really lost two, not one. So, you know, to review a play like that, I think you'd want to really be sure that you were right. You know, now if it was one of those plays where, you know, like the play in Jacksonville 5 years ago where Jones-Drew, you know, went down, but we didn't tag him down. He goes 80 yards for a touchdown. Was he down? Was he not down? You know, maybe you're not 100% sure he was down, but it's such a huge play in the game, you want to challenge it anyway, just, you know, because of the magnitude of the play. So, you know, and on the play with Rob, we just, looking at it from the field and then, you know, talking to the coaches upstairs, nobody felt that there was enough, you know, enough evidence there to turn it over.
Yeah, the play, it was Dobson's first touchdown, the back shoulder throw near the pylon.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be wrong. I think it's the first back shoulder pass that Brady's completed to him all year. It seems to have been a source of frustration between them or miscommunication between them before. What does that mean for the future, their ability to hook up on that? How important is that to what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, I think that's, you know, a play that, you know, every quarterback and every receiver at some point is going to come up, and I would say that it's, it really comes down to execution. I don't think it's a communication thing. It's execution, and the receiver has to go hard, but then react to the ball quickly. The ball's got to be thrown where the receiver can get it, and if either one of those are wrong, then the receiver drags the defender into the path of the ball, or if the path of the ball is not good, then there's nothing the receiver can do. The defender breaks it up. So, you know, it's a combination of the throw, the timing, and the accuracy of the throw, you know, all those things put together. So if we can execute that well with any quarterback and any receiver, then, you know, you have a good play. And if you don't, it doesn't, you know, you don't. So, but, you know, it was good to see us make that play. It was good to see us make the long pass to Dobson where we were behind the defense, and we were able to take advantage of that, because we've had been in that situation several times this year where we, you know, haven't either caught the ball or overthrown it, or, you know, something happened. We got hit. We didn't have a chance to throw it. So this was one where, you know, the stars were in alignment. Everything went right.
All right, Bills. It's time now for the coach's question of the week. It's brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers. The all-new Mercedes-Benz CLA has arrived. See them on the web at mbusa.com. This week's question is from Paige. Paige is in Wellesley. She wants to know, how much time do you spend thinking about exercise and stress relief? I ask because of what I presume to be stress-related conditions for head coaches like Gary Kubiak and John Fox. So I guess Paige wants to know, are you taking care of yourself, and how often do you think about that?
I'd say pretty much on a daily basis. You know, trying to – I think it's, you know, obviously good to – you know, to try to stay fit, but it's also, I think it makes you more productive, in the, as a worker. Just sometimes you know, need that, little source of energy, getting the blood flowing, getting going. And, you know, we have an excellent training staff with, Harold Nass, Moses Cabrera. And, you know, I work with them. They pound on me pretty good. And, so it's, you know, I feel like I can, you know, it's a long season. I've been doing it a long time. And, you know, I know that you know, physically it takes a lot out of you, and you've got to be in, you know, pretty good physical condition to last through an NFL season as a player or a coach. And so there's a lot of things that go into that, getting rest, you know, nutrition, which, you know, we do an excellent job of that around here too. If we can just stick to it, that's the resources are there. It's the discipline that maybe I need a little work with, but. No, we have all the, you know, all the resources to do that, and it's just a question of doing it. But I think it is important for all of us, and, you know, I try to remind the staff of that as well. I mean, there's nothing that'll sap energy out of a team than a tired staff. And, you know, if we're not energetic, if we're not enthusiastic and you know, have that, you know, positive energy for the team, then, you know, then the meetings start off slow, the day goes slow, practice, I mean, it just... You know, it's all tied together. The players have to have it. The coaches have to have it. The entire team needs it, and it's very important.
Is it a wake-up call at all when you see two coaches, you know, collapse within a couple of days of each other, just about what the profession really means? It sounds weird to say, but the physical demands of the profession you're in?
Well, I think it does, but, you know, as a just, you know, being particularly with the Giants, you know, with Coach Parcells, and then at the Patriots, you know, and even the 3 years in New York, you know, Bill went through some, you know, conditions, and I remember there were games, the heart palpitations and all that. I remember there were games, you know, after the game, we'd be sitting in the locker room, and he would say, geez, I don't know if I can do this again. This is just, you know, this is so hard, you know, I just don't feel right, you know. And, you know, when you start talking like that, you realize that it's taken a lot, you know, it's taken a toll. So, you know, and I mean, I lived with him through that for, you know, probably close to a decade, really, when you add it all up. And so, I know that there's a lot of stress and there's a lot of anxiety, just like there are for fans. You know, we're watching games and we're not even coaching in them, and you know, there's a lot of anxious moments. So when you're right in the middle of it and you're doing it, there's certainly, you know, high level of anxiety. But I think if there wasn't, there'd be something wrong with you there too.
Coach, thank you so much. A good win yesterday. You get a bye week now. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, sounds good. Thanks,
right,
Mike.
There you go. There's Bill Belichick. I'll be right back here in Foxborough. Saul Capale on WEEI.